Welcome to the Eden Assignment, sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Institute. Nominate your martial arts hero for the 2020 AMAA Legends Awards Banquet. Visit our website, www.whoshointhemartialarts.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Master Karen Eden, and I'm so glad that we have this a moment to be able to get together for a few minutes and maybe learn something from me, because I certainly learned something from you guys, whether you're my students or whether you're my comrades or whatever you may be, someone from my hometown. I watch, I observe, and I learn, because I'm always a student. But maybe you can learn something from me too. This has been impressed upon my heart to talk about this week. And that would be something we know very well about in martial arts. It's the word focus. We certainly swing that word around a lot. As a martial arts instructor, and many of you out there who may be listening to me may also be instructors or students as well, you know about focus, because focus is very important in any type of fighting art. So in other words, if you're going to do a blocking technique, let's say, if you don't have your thumb held just right in a rigid position, or you don't have your fingers together all the way, even that pinky finger, and you perform some type of strike or counter-strike or a block with that hand not correctly placed, even down to the baby fingers, you could actually hurt yourself. You could break your fingers if you don't do it right. Even the way you hold your fist, if you don't correctly strike with your fist, you could break your fist. Depending on what you're punching, too, bone is hard. So there are ancient techniques that have been put together and brought down to teach you how to hold your fingers when you're going to block or strike, and it's very important. That's focus. You have to focus even down to the minute detail. I recently took a test for my 7th degree, which is the rank of grandmaster in my art form. And I know when I was training for this, up in Cleveland with Master A.J. Perry, he was getting very intricate with me about how I'm holding my fingers, whether or not my hand, where my hand is attached to my wrist, was cocked to the right the way it needed to be. And maybe you would let that go with a white belt or yellow belt, but at my rank after 30 years, I have to get that right. If I'm going to go by the title of Grandmaster, I need to make sure that I'm holding everything correctly. It's focus, and you have to focus on those details. Ladies and gentlemen, in this world with all the trouble going on and people are scared about things, and listen, I know it's hard to focus when you're fearful of the future. I totally know that. But listen, you're going to have to find a way to stick with what you know. And when I say that, what I mean is to understand the divine spiritual nature behind focus. It's to understand that God brought you here and you were created for a certain reason to do a certain thing. You could have been brought in at any time, but you were brought in right now to be at this place in this time to do a particular thing. God has wired you to do that. All the other things that you may be afraid of in your future, whether it's politics or your life or your career or your money or your health, you have to let go of those things. And you have to realize that God has specifically designed particular people to take care of the issues that you feel so helpless about, no matter what they are. Things you have no control over, God has designed certain people to handle those particular situations. And he will divinely network them into your path if you are a spiritual person on a spiritual journey. That's just the networking of the divine. Heaven networks on your behalf, guys. Whenever you feel helpless about something, and, you know, I always say this, sometimes you feel helpless about money situations, or you feel helpless about relationships, or in this day and age, about politics and the particular policies that may be handed down that go against what you feel is your conviction. All these things, yeah, they're things to make you feel helpless. However, nothing will make you feel helpless like when you lose your health. I mean, I'm not kidding you. You can always fix your money situation. You can fix relationships. You can always wait out the political stuff. But your health? No control over that. Sometimes you get to the point where it's too late and it can't be anything humanly done about it. And then you're really going to have to put in gear your faith. And you're going to have to ask yourself, do I really believe there's a God on the throne or don't I? Do I really believe it or don't I? Because you can't worry about things you have no control over. But you do have to trust by divine intervention that the right people will be networked into your path and into your space at a particular time to meet the requests of heaven on your behalf. See, that's what spiritual networking is. But it is your obligation to focus on it. Well, really, in a situation like that, you only have two choices. You either focus on it or you run around like a chicken with your head cut off. Sometimes you don't really have much of a choice but to believe that God is networking heaven on your behalf. So when it comes down to the situations that you can't change, focus. Focus on what you're doing, why you're here, what you're wired to do, why you're here. You know, some of us out there, and I got my hand raised, we should already be dead. I know a lot of people that should already be dead, actually. Went on to do very great things. But you know, if you're not dead when you should be, you already know that God's got a reason for you to be here. You already know that. So just put that out of your mind. It doesn't matter what it is. And stay very, very disciplined on why you're still here and what you're supposed to be doing, because somebody out there needs you with what you can do, what you find so easy to do. You're part of that heavenly network. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, all of a sudden somebody else has to pick up that slack. See, everything is networking. A lot of times, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be out and about, and I am a homeless person, street person magnet. And I'm not saying that in any way to make light of a situation. Here in Colorado, we have an enormous homeless situation. Matter of fact, they're being bussed in from other states. And they actually set up homeless camps down in the city to try to meet the homeless situation. I've worked hands-on with the homeless situation, hands-on with it. And I have my own understanding and reasoning from doing that for 3 years. However, there are certain things with being homeless, for instance. I'm going to get off track just a second here and tell you a little bit about this homeless situation, because I think it's important that you know this. Homelessness comes out of two things. In this day and age, when help is readily available, and we have got a great welfare system in the United States of America, you're either an addict or an alcoholic. There's some kind of a spirit of addiction going on, or there may be mental illness, or both. And 9 times out of 10, it will be both. And when you're giving to people who are homeless, I want you to know that you're giving to a cause of them taking themselves out with addiction. Because if they're on the streets begging in this day and age when there's so much welfare available, I guarantee it's addiction. Addiction is a horrible, horrible spirit that has overtaken this country. Just that nobody can get a hold of it. Nobody can get a hold of it. And it's a very sad situation that this country has such a hole in its soul that it's consuming so much of the world's drugs. I mean, by 10 times over what other countries do. But I want you to know, as someone who has worked hands-on with the homeless situation through various organizations that I'm not going to name, but they're very well-known organizations, you are feeding a habit when you give money to homeless people who are begging you for money. You're feeding a habit. They're going to take the money and they're going to go buy drugs and alcohol with it because so many organizations are giving them food. So if you really want to help, you need to support the organizations who have accountability and when they're giving out food and things of that nature to people who are homeless, because they know what they're doing. Okay. I just felt like letting you know that because I think a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know what is the spirit behind homelessness. These people need to go into rehab where they need to have deliverance prayed over them, one or the other. But that's an issue. That's you. If you don't want to enable them, support the organizations that help them. All right. Getting back on point with what I'm talking about in divine intervention through focus, oftentimes I am a magnet to people who are homeless. Some, a lot of, 90% of them are young people where I live. Young people in their 20s should be very viable and healthy to be able to get some kind of a job or something. They'll stop me. Always some story. You know, I ran out of gas. I don't know. It's like blah, 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 Charlie Brown to me. Because I know with my gifts and my ability, if a homeless person is put in my path, that God, by divine intervention, has put them in my path and I can help them that way. The first thing I do is I grab them and I pray for them. I question their spiritual walk. I ask them some questions about who they believe. And I'm going to tell you, there's only been maybe one or two instances where a homeless person didn't tell me that they did not believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe one or two instances. All the other times, they always humbly cry and ask me to pray for them. Okay, so now that changes things because they tell me that they believe in Jesus Christ and they sincerely mean that. Well, now they're my brother and sister because I believe in Jesus Christ and now I'm obligated to help them. I do a lot of prayer over them, ladies and gentlemen, through just the divine networking and hearing from the voice of God to help these people very intricately, in detail, in their lives. I know that somebody was praying for that young person. There's a mom or a grandma or somebody praying, saying, God, help me with this kid. He needs help, and I don't know what to do. I don't even know where this kid's at. So then I can only picture heaven going, okay, well, he's in Colorado. Let's see if we can get a – well, there's Karen. Karen, she has ability. She's very powerful in her ability. Let's network her in so that she's going to be in the path of him while he's begging for money out there one day in Colorado. And she's going to be able to help him and help get deliverance on him. That's the divine networking. And because I worked with so many organizations hands-on, I know where he can go to get help, he or she. Talking about a lot of young people, ladies and gentlemen, it's if you think a homeless person is an old hobo carrying a paper sack, you would be sadly mistaken. These are very young, otherwise healthy people who have the spirit of addiction on them and or mental illness on them, and they're living in tents that the government put up all over Colorado or wherever, handing out the needles, letting them shoot themselves up so that they won't spread disease and things. It's a bad situation, and I don't think that these governments that have so many homeless people know exactly how to handle a homeless problem because it's so much, and they're all coming here. And they may be coming here for another reason, because it's legal to smoke marijuana. I don't know. I'm sure that may have a little bit to do with it. I don't know. But because there's a lot of handouts without a lot of accountability, people are loving it coming out here, being able just to bum off some money to get some pot and, you know, you get a free tent. You know, you just check out. You know, and these are our young people doing this today, checking out. Ladies and gentlemen, if people don't hear the message, the basic white belt spiritual messages, it's going to be a culminating problem, a continuum. The message I try to give every young people is you were brought here at this day and this time because you have a purpose under heaven to do. Let's get you back on track. Let's get you back on track. Because if you have to medicate your sorrow, you are a spiritually weak person, and I'm sorry if that offends people, but it's the truth. Who wouldn't love to feel jacked up all the time? I have days like that. Let's go get drunk. That's weak spiritualism. That's a weak spirit. If you have strength in your spirit, you won't do that. You'll find other means and other ways. Even if you go into prayer and meditation, whatever. But a lot of people don't even know this because they don't have the knowledge, right? So the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Someone has to dispense the knowledge. So if I'm helping you today by dispensing this knowledge, I want you to understand that in a spiritual journey, the white belt, A1, first step is to understand you are here by divine purpose, a reason under heaven to make a difference in this world. A1 white belt stuff. And if you know that truly and you understand it and you walk in that, you can walk in the way of miracles just with that understanding. You won't feel so helpless that you have to check out and become in an altered state through drugs and alcohol, because you know that there's somebody else that actually brought you here and is going to have your best interests in mind and is going to look out for you. A lot of people are praying right now. A lot of people are praying right now. I'm praying for the country, praying for the leadership, praying, and they should be. Everybody should be praying. But I'm going to say this again. I said it last week. I feel it's important to say this again, that you don't pray in fear. Fear attracts things to you, to us, anywhere and everywhere that will cause more issues. You need to pray in faith. What is that? Praying in faith means that you believe, body, mind, and spirit, that everything's going to be okay. Even if anything in the physical realm may point to something otherwise, you still need to believe that and pray in that faith. Pray in that understanding that you're going to get everything that you need to receive and everything that you need to ask for. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will open. But you see, you got to meet God halfway. You do have to ask. You do have to seek. And you do have to knock. Because of free will, everybody on a spiritual journey has to be the initiator. You can initiate and you can instigate good things in your life. You can initiate and instigate the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the goodness of the Holy Spirit in your life, the graces of God. You can also initiate and instigate evil into your life. I deal with some heavy-duty evil, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I do. I don't talk about it a lot. Now, most people think that I'm a martial arts, a high-ranked martial arts female who's a journalist, and I am. But I got spiritual things that I've been wired to do that I have to do too, a calling I have to answer, and that calling is heavy on combating evil at times. And I'm here to tell you that a lot of times people get into spiritual trouble because they invite things in. They invite things in out of ignorance. It doesn't matter. You think the devil cares. You think the devil plays fair. But you will always have the chance of redemption. That's why we have to have that free will where you choose good or evil. It has to be there. But there needs to be teachers who are teaching people spiritual things in spiritual ways. That is one of my offices. I am a teacher. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a good one. I don't brag on myself that much, so let me at least have that, okay? I know I am, because I feel the Holy Spirit with me when I teach. I know that I'm making a difference, and I know I'm wired to be that. I do teach in some elements, and in other elements of the Spirit, I also do a lot more. But I want to let you know that it isn't by chance that you are where you are right now doing what you're doing. Because if you tell me you believe in spiritual things, in spiritual ways, and you're on a spiritual journey, then I know that it's no mistake that you're here. And I know some of you have already cheated death, and that's why you're here. And I will always confess to you my power source to be Jesus Christ. I don't want to confuse anybody, so let me just state that flat out. That is my one and only power source, the blood of Christ. But don't get lackadaisical, and don't get too comfortable, because powerful people weren't meant to live their lives comfortably. Let me say that again. Powerful people were not meant to live their lives comfortably. And if you're getting way too comfortable with things in your life, you better believe that there may be something headed your way around the corner, an assignment. An assignment. because we were meant to be doers. Doers. Not comfortablers. Couch potatoes, whatever you want to call it. We were meant to be doers. Keep your heart clear. Keep your eyes open. Keep the eyes of your heart open. Be ready, because you're needed. Because there's a lot of evil in the world today. There's a lot of evil in our country today. There's a lot of good in our country, too. And there's a lot of good in the world. But it's a battle. It's always a battle. And there needs to be some good teachers explaining the truth of what's going on out there. There needs to be some teachers, some good teachers that need to rise up, whether in pulpits or the grocery store. You need to listen for the cues from the Holy Spirit that you're going to say things that are going to make a difference in somebody's life. If you're not making a difference by what you're saying or teaching, you're not in your calling. You should be making a difference. The people who listen to you when you teach should be able to bear the fruit of people who are being changed. I'm a martial arts teacher. I'm a grandmaster. I teach martial arts. When I look at my students, if I don't see that change in them, I don't blame them. I blame me. Why am I not being able to see the fruit come out of them? You know, some students are different. Some students are just dumb. They don't get it. But if they stick with it, they'll start to get it. It just takes them longer. But eventually, I need to see some productivity out of my students with this martial arts. If they're not getting it, I'm like, Karen, what are you teaching them? Why are they not getting it? I know that my calling is in to be a teacher. I'm going to be a good teacher no matter what I teach. Teachers teach, period. Doesn't matter what you teach. But ladies and gentlemen, you have your calling. Divinely placed right here on this planet at this space and time to do something for the kingdom, to make the difference in this world. Don't be afraid. Listen, if you watch the news and it gives you the spirit of fear or irritable bowel syndrome, don't watch it, okay? Turn it off. Stay focused on what you're supposed to be doing and let God network all the other people in helping with the government or the politics or the drug addiction or whatever's going on. Let God handle that with the people he wired to handle it. You pray for them and uphold them, but you be very diligent in doing what you're supposed to do. That's how you're going to make a difference. What time is it? Wow, that was quick. I got some stuff coming on. As soon as I get those dates gelled, I'm going to tell you about it. You come on out and meet me. Let me shake your hand. I'd love to even just pray for you. I mean, if you're taking the time to meet me, we might as well make it count, right? I got 4 books out. I write for magazines all the time. I'm all over the place. Check it out. Look me up. I'm on social media. Karen Eden Herdman, Master Eden, Master Karen Eden, Master Karen Eden Herdman, whatever. Grandmaster Karen Eden Herdman. I think I'll pop up with any of those. I'm going to keep you posted, guys. Things are changing, and we got to get busy. Not distracted, busy. All right? Praying for you. You pray for me. God bless you. See you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.